I'm Steve Dawson, and this is This Comedian's Life, a podcast where we talk to a variety of funny people about their lives in comedy. I talked with comedian and podcast pioneer Jimmy Pardo. For 10 years, Jimmy has hosted Never Not Funny, one of the very first successful comedy podcasts. So successful, in fact, Jimmy and co-host Matt Belknap were able to establish a pay model for the show early in its existence. Recently, Jimmy joined the Earwolf Podcasting Network and now offers one paid and one free podcast every week.
What prompted you to start the podcast in the first place, Jimmy?
I was between television jobs, and I was doing a non-televised talk show at the UCB Theater here in Los Angeles, and Matt Belknap was a fan of mine. He was just a fan who ran aspecialthing.com, the alternative comedy website, and he would come to all of my shows, and then he eventually said, you know, why don't we turn this talk show into a podcast? And I guess I really didn't know what that meant, but I thought, okay, let's do something. I need to be creative. And, you know, we started it, and I think we recorded at the end of March in 2006, and the first episode came out in April of 2006. So we're coming up on 10 years.
Wow.
And, you know, for a while, nobody knew what a podcast was, and I'd have guests that would say, yeah, I'll do it. I don't even know. We're doing a radio show at your dining room table? And, you know, and then eventually we moved to a studio, and now we have a wonderful studio. But for a while, nobody knew what it was. And then to speak to the pay model, you know, the reason we went to a pay model was podcasts weren't, they literally were not happening. Nobody cared about podcasting. And we had a loyal fan base, and I was like, why are we doing this? And, you know, I'm about to have a baby. I don't want to travel anymore. Let's try to make some money. And luckily enough, most of our fan base stayed with us and subscribed to the show. There was some backlash about, you know, how dare you? You know, it's supposed to be free, like you said. But then the boom happened. The podcast boom happened, and we're behind this paywall. So while every other podcast is growing a huge audience, we just kind of stayed and plateaued. So when Earwolf eventually, you know, and other networks also reached out to us from time to time over the years, but then Earwolf finally presented us with an offer that was like, you know what, we have to roll the dice and go back to free for a while, and not even for a while, let's go back to free and build our audience up to where it should be, because we blazed a trail and then, you know, got left behind, quite frankly.
Right.
So that's where we're at.
I talked to Jimmy about coming up in the Los Angeles comedy community and how he got to know one of his good friends and frequent Never Not Funny guests, actor John Hamm.
You know, it's a funny story. A guy named John Schroeder used to have a poker game, and we called him Tall John because he's, I think, 7 feet tall. He's just a monster of a man.
Holy smokes.
And a very funny man and a very talented writer here in town. And I got involved with that game because my buddy Scott Aukerman said, hey, we need somebody for poker. And so it was me and Scott Aukerman and a guy named Alex Reed, who's a showrunner here in town. And then there was this other guy and some other guys. And I, you know, okay, nice to meet you, nice to meet you. Years went on. And, you know, I wasn't showing up to poker as much. Maybe they won't even have the games as often and so on and so forth. So I was doing this match game live at the UCB Theater. And Mad Men was on TV. And Scott Aukerman, who co-produced Match Game with me, said, hey, I was thinking about asking John to do Match Game. What do you think? And I go, John. He goes, yeah, John Hamm. I go, yeah, of course ask him. How do we know John Hamm? He goes, John, it's Handsome John from Poker. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's John Hamm? Like, I didn't even put two and two together that this was the guy that we played poker with. And then so he was always funny at poker, but I didn't know that, I really didn't know anything about the guy. So then he came on Match Game and he was amazing. And then he came on my podcast and he was great. And I believe he even says that, like, Never Not Funny and Match Game are Scott Aukerman and I are the reasons anybody knows that he could be funny at all.
It is frustrating, though, because they say beautiful people can't be funny.
It's crazy, right? I mean, like, because I agree with that. Whenever you see somebody like an open micer and a handsome guy gets up there, it's like, well, here's a handsome guy. He's had no problems in his life. You know,
right.
You know, he probably was the prom king, and he was the quarterback, and he was big man on campus. He can't possibly be funny. And more often than not, they're not. They're horribly unfunny because
right.
They haven't had a reason to be defensive and funny growing up. Whereas John Hamm, holy smokes. He's got everything.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
And he's such a good... If he wasn't such a good guy, you would feel resentful.
And that's the other thing. You want to talk about nicest guys in Hollywood. John Hamm is just a guy that gives and gives and uses his celebrity for good, and he is a loyal friend and a good man, and I'm grateful to have him as a friend.
Giving back is an important part of Jimmy's life. Every year, he hosts a 12-hour benefit for a charity, which, like Jimmy, strives to make people smile.
Talk about the charity that you decided to donate the profits for the last, what, several years? How many years has it been, Jimmy?
We started with them in 2009 was our first Parkastathon, where we, you know, basically Parkastathon is a 12-hour version of my podcast, Never Not Funny. We go from noon to midnight Pacific time, and I have a different guest on every 25 minutes. And we're raising money for Smile Train, the great organization that goes to third world countries to fix the to the surgery to repair cleft lips and cleft palates of children, and sometimes adults that couldn't otherwise afford it. And Pat Francis and Matt Belknap and I host all 12 hours. And like I said, we've been doing it since 2009. The first year we raised $13,000, and last year we raised $150,000. So,
oh my gosh,
it's grown through the years. And, you know, we had the chance, Matt and Pat and myself had the chance to go down to Chiapas, Mexico in December of last year to meet a doctor and meet some families of the children that have had the surgery and some families that are their children's about to have the surgery. And to just see that literally if you donate, and each surgery only costs $250 because everybody donates their time, to see that for $250 you could change a child's life was just, as cliche as it sounds, it was life-changing for me as well and all of us.
And it's so perfect, too, literally and figuratively, to be a comedian and donate to this amazing Smile Train charity.
Yeah.
It's so perfect.
It really is. And you know, in fact, I think the quote that is that they have for me on the Smile Train website is, you know, we're both in the business of putting smiles on people's faces. And that's you know, exactly basically what you just said is, it just made sense. It was like a partnership that was perfect. And they're a great organization. Everybody that I've met that works at Smile Trainer, they're all great people. And they care about the kids. They care about the doctors. It's, you know, it's really a great organization, and I'm proud to be affiliated.
For a while, Jimmy's two jobs were hosting his weekly podcast and touring around the country as a stand-up comedian. A few years into the podcast, Jimmy was asked to be the opening act at The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien.
I've said it before publicly. I mean, you know, meeting him and getting that job when I did in 2009 changed my life because I got a chance then to go from, you know, just, you know, trying to scrape by and make a living to not only am I making a great living, I'm working with the funniest people in the world who's, you know, on a show that's helmed by the funniest guy. And he's just genuine and nice, and he's a person. And, you know, he and I clicked as soon as we met, which was amazing to me because, you know, when you see somebody on television, you just kind of hope that, hey, this guy and I seem to have the same comic sensibilities. I bet you we'd get along. And then so, you know, every now and then it's like, oh, no, we don't get along at all. But Conan and I did, and I'm grateful for it. And, you know, it was the greatest place to ever work. It felt like a family more than a Hollywood, you know, set or studio. And I think that's because of him, and it trickles down, you know, those just being a decent human being.
Aside from working on The Tonight Show, I asked Jimmy about a few of his memorable career highlights, including how he felt about being in a documentary about his all-time favorite band.
You love the band Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
How cool was it for you to be in the documentary Now More Than Ever?
It was, when I got that phone call, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was like, the filmmaker Peter Pardini had heard that I was, he had heard me interviewed, I think on Adam Carolla, that I was a huge Chicago fan, and he was making this documentary about Chicago, kind of the same thing as the Eagles documentary that was out, you know, where, you know, warts and all, he's going to tell the story of Chicago, and he wanted some anecdotes and what have you from people that, you know, that have been fans of the band for decades. And I went in and was interviewed for it, and I'm in the film very briefly. But it's a nice, memorable moment of the film, and I'm just honored to have been a stupid kid with Chicago posters all over my wall to then be on the same film as these guys. I mean, just honestly, I mean, I know I'm repeating, but it really just an honor.
That's one of those kind of like pinch me moments. Like I never thought this would happen in my lifetime.
Oh.
What are a few of the other things that have happened to you that have been sort of pinch me moments like that?
You know, two of them come to mind immediately. You know, career-wise, obviously, family-wise is a whole different story. But career-wise, when, you know, growing up in the South Side of Chicago, you know, my dreams were to play for the Chicago White Sox, which was never going to happen because I don't have that talent, or to host The Tonight Show, because I loved Johnny Carson, and I was a child, didn't understand how show business worked, and I loved the idea of doing that. Well, then years later, I'm working for Conan O'Brien, and we're doing a week of shows in Chicago, and I was asked to throw out the first pitch at a White Sox game. And when they and I was there with my dad and my wife and my son, and you know they announced over the loudspeaker, you know, please welcome from the TBS show Conan, Chicago's own Jimmy Pardo. And I walk out and I throw out the first pitch at. So there I am, in a White Sox jersey, throwing out the first pitch at First Cellular, and throwing out for the White Sox, representing a late night talk show. So that was amazing to me.
Unbelievable.
And by the way, it's the other one. I just screwed up the name of the place. But
well, it used to be Comiskey, which is a lot easier.
It was. It was a man's name that we can remember.
And your son and your father were there.
Yeah, and so there's the you know the three generations of Pardos, and you know it was such a proud moment to like my son was only five at the time, but or maybe even four and a half. But he somehow understood how important it was, like how neat it was for me.
Wow.
And obviously my dad, you know, was very proud of like, Jesus, look what my son's doing. What a neat thing. So that was really cool. And then getting the phone call, I was coming back from the gym one day and getting the phone call from Mike Sweeney, the former head writer at Conan O'Brien, saying, hey, Andy needs to miss a couple of days because he's shooting something else. Conan wants you to fill in as co-host. How's that sound? And I was like, how's that sound? Like, I've been waiting for this phone call my whole life. That's how it sounds. And so that was the other, like, just really neat moment that happened. And then, you know, getting the chance to, you know, to fill in for Andy, who's a great guy and a good friend. And to, you know, be, you know, sit there next to Conan and be co-host for a couple of shows. So I've had some really, I'm very grateful. I've had some really neat things happen in my career. And while I'm not a household name, I'm thrilled with the stuff that I've accomplished.
Thanks to Jimmy Pardo for chatting with me this week. You can find his Never Not Funny podcast at podcast.com or earwolf.com. To get more info or to donate to the Smile Train charity, go to smiletrain.org. If you'd like to see Jimmy perform live, he'll be appearing at the Funny Bone in St. Louis June 3rd and 4th. Thank you for joining us. This is Steve Dawson for This Comedian's Life.